Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you. What a blessing to be able to gather and sing these wonderful songs, hymns. We did a little bit of everything today, huh? Went back, I don't know how old that hymn is, Fount of Every Blessing, or Come Thou Fount. But it's great to be here. It's great to see you, and it's my pleasure, my honor to be able to share God's word with you this morning. I have a couple of announcements that I want to share with you fairly quickly. You know, we never talk about offering. Have you guys noticed? So the elders are always telling me, I'm kidding. No, they're not. We don't even talk about not talking about offering. And the wonderful thing that I want to share for God's praise and glory is that, through the, almost a year and a half now of this pandemic, COVID, a lot of organizations, a lot of churches went through a very difficult time, especially monetarily, financially. And by God's grace and thanks to you who have continued to contribute, our offerings have pretty much stayed stable throughout. You know, they've always averaged out to about the pre-COVID-19 era. So I want to thank you, but I feel a little awkward thanking you because I really know that it's God putting it in you to consider, giving your tithes and offerings to, not to Crosspoint, but through Crosspoint, that God would continue his work. And so I want to share with you, there's a couple of boxes out there for you if you want to still drop a check or cash, we can do that. But I think most people, if I'm not mistaken, are using our app and are giving online. So I would encourage you to consider that. That's just a lot easier, cleaner. If you ever are curious about our finances, you can see David Doolittle, and our books are certainly open to everyone. Pretty soon, we want to share some collaborating that we're doing with several local ministries. You know about our ministries in Ensenada, Mexico, and India, but there's also several organizations, ministries, faith-based, that we want to come alongside and collaborate with them, whether it's financially or also just getting involved and doing work with them. So we're really excited about that. We want to prepare a good presentation for you to be aware of it. We have lots of plans to do that, but just know that the money that you give to Crosspoint or through Crosspoint is going a long ways in continuing God's work and furthering his kingdom. And I think that's really, really exciting. All right. I want to share with you that next week, Lord willing, the 23rd, we plan on having baptisms. There's at least two people that have told me, I'm ready. I want to get baptized, and we're super excited about that. And at the same time, I want to share with you, if you have not been baptized, today we're going to be talking about obedience. And certainly being baptized is one of the first steps in obedience when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit opens your understanding. You come to realize that you are indeed a spiritually bankrupt individual with only Christ to go to. And when that happens, we get baptized. And one of the things that baptism is that it symbolizes your identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. And when you come out of that water, it symbolizes this new life in you. So we're really excited about that. If you have any questions on baptism, let me encourage you, if you're in a growth group and you have questions about baptism, start with asking your growth group leaders. That's really what they're there for, to answer your questions, to come alongside you and encourage you. So, growth group leaders, if you might want to ask, just kind of find out where everybody's at, if anybody has any questions on that, and then reach out to me. Let me know that you want to get baptized, just so that we get prepared for that. But next week, Lord willing, we'll be here, and we'll have baptisms, all right? Let me share with you Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, in order that we would take communion together. Galatians 2:16, and if you didn't pick up one of these on your way in, if you want to raise your hand, I'm sure we'll have somebody come along and pick one up. And before I get into the word, as we pass these out, so today we're doing something very different. What do you do with these, right? It's become a little bit of an issue. Like, after you're done, do you hang on to it for another 40 minutes? Do you toss it behind you, hope not to hit someone? Do you look for that little square under the chair in front of you? With the limited visibility that we have in the building, that becomes a little bit of an issue. Some of you have opted very creatively, I may add, to place it in the little pouch behind the chair. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. So let's stop doing that. Thanks. It's better than the floor, I think. Probably not. But so what's going to happen now is after we take communion, if you see Robert, some of our ushers are going to just kind of walk by through the aisles. We have about six aisles here. So I don't know if you're completely ready for that, but we'll just walk by, and you may toss it into one of those containers that they have in their hand, and that'll take care of it once and for all. How about that, huh? Innovation. All right, here comes Jason. So I said Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Let me find that. So Paul writes this letter to a group of churches. And listen to what he says here. Very, very interesting. Let me just say, what we're about to see here is really an answer to, perhaps, to a very popular question, which is, why are there so many religions in the world? If there's only one God and one truth, why are there so many religions? And what is religion about? Listen to this. Galatians 2:16. Paul says, knowing that a man or a woman is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Now, I know that's a long verse and it's got some big words in there, but to be justified is very important. Synonymous with being born again and being given forgiveness of sins and eternal life. To be justified means to be declared not guilty or to be declared righteous. And then the big question becomes, wait, Mike, so you don't know me. I'm not 100% righteous. I'm a sinner. And I would say that's no surprise to me because we've always talked about the fact that the Bible says that we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. And we never take that for granted and we never use that as an excuse to disobey or to sin. All right, but the Bible says that we're all sinners, and therefore, because we're guilty of sin, we are deserving of death and separation eternally from the holy and perfect God. But here he says, knowing, he's asserting this is a known fact, this is truth, knowing that a man or a person is not justified or is not made righteous. We're not righteous, we are made righteous. By the work of the law. We're not made righteous by the work of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And then Romans 5:1 says something very similar. Therefore, have you been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, knowing that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. And listen to this. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. It doesn't matter how religious you are. It doesn't matter how hard you try to be a good person or how hard you try to get rid of your bad habits or your sin in your life. You will never be counted righteous based on your own work outside of Christ. So faith in Christ and what he did for you at the cross is really what justifies us. God the Father says, you are a sinner deserving of death and separation eternal from me in a place called hell that he prepared for Satan and his followers and his demons. But if you don't want to go to heaven through Christ, that's your other option. And then how do we get to heaven? How are we justified? By faith in Jesus Christ. Not by anything that you do, but by what he has already done. When Jesus at the cross said, it is finished, he was talking about his saving work. It was his payment on our behalf that God the Father accepts, and only that payment. So anybody who is religious and trying to earn God's favor through being religious, through following their whatever religion we're talking about, if that religion is about doing something to earn God's favor or to be justified by their works, they're gonna encounter the righteous judge, and say, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Workers of iniquity, in Matthew chapter 7, it says. And people are going to be like, but wait, I was a good person. I stopped doing that and I started doing this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can only be justified by the saving work of Jesus Christ. And that is what we get to celebrate every week when we take communion. And this is what it represents as we take out the bread here. We're proclaiming our faith in the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ, represented by this unleavened bread, which represents the sinless body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take that together. This juice reminds us, and we remember the blood that our Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross on our behalf for the full payment of all of our sins. Let's take that together. All right. I want to certainly welcome everybody in our online family. I this morning saw a couple of people that haven't been here in a while, and we're just happy to have everyone. But as people feel a little more comfortable or situations change and you're able to make it to church, I think it's such a blessing. For if nothing else, know that the pastor at Crosspoint Christian Church is happy to see you here at church, and I'm sure so is everybody else, and I hope you're blessed by being here. But if you're not able to make it yet, for whatever reason, welcome our online family. We're certainly glad that you're here. All right, let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you so much for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the rain that we just had here in Southern California, in LA. I don't know how far the rain went this morning, but thank you. Thank you for allowing us to have a place to gather, and thank you for your love and sacrifice, your giving of your one and only, your begotten Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for accepting that responsibility or just being willing to come and pay that awesome price. And Holy Spirit, only through you and your revelation are we able to understand and believe these truths. And so we're grateful this morning. I thank you for everybody who's here joining us in person or online, or for those watching later on via recording. I ask for your blessing, Father, as we speak about obedience this morning. I know we all lack, I certainly do, and there's lots of work to do there, but that we would be encouraged by this morning's message, Father. We pray in the wonderful and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, beloved, so today is the third official lesson or message based on the book that we're reading called The Keys to Spiritual Growth. Is that what it's called? I hope that you being a growth group has been a blessing. And I want to encourage you, make sure you read the book. Make sure you don't just check off that box, but read it, meditate on it, learn from it. Let the Holy Spirit transform you through His Word. And not about the book, but you know what I find about the book and a lot of John MacArthur's writings is that it's as close to 100% biblical as you can get. A lot of scripture, a lot of doctrine, a lot of teaching straight from the Bible. And so we're happy to be able to use that book for our growth groups. And chapter 4 in your book, speaking about obedience this week, you only get to read one chapter versus two, all right? You guys are all happy about that? I see that. No? Okay. Some of you guys already read the book. I almost want to ask who has read the whole book, but I'm not going to ask. See who my overachievers are and just future, I don't know what. Just want to encourage you, get in the book, enjoy it, ask lots of questions. That's one of the things that I've enjoyed about our growth group, the sharing part, the asking questions. Don't limit yourself to the one time a week when you meet, but you know, drop your growth group leaders a text, an email, call them every once in a while. You know, when people call me, this is strange, the culture and how things are changing, but Almost every time when somebody calls me from church, they start by apologizing. Stop apologizing, yeah? Don't apologize. I'm so sorry, Mike. I know you're busy. I'm like, I am. I was watching TV. Don't apologize. Call. Reach out. If I don't answer, then I might be busy, and I'll call you back or text you back. But I'm saying if we're going to get the most benefit out of the growth group, it's because we are intentionally try to create a family atmosphere of accountability, sharing, not just sharing our words, but sharing our lives with the people in our group. And I know that's hard for most of us. Many of us are not used to that, but that's where the growth is going to happen, when we intentionally surround ourselves with people that are intentionally wanting to grow spiritually. All right? So continue on. This morning, we're going to look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And the title of this morning's message is Jesus Christ Lord? Is Jesus Christ Lord? And what does that mean? Let me share a key verse with you before we get going on the John 15. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." How interesting, John says. He says, this is how we know that we have love in God, that God loves us, that his love is in us. And if you read 1 John, it's all about that. And here he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Meaning, if we don't keep God's commandments, we can't say that we love God or that God's love is in us, period. Simple. But then he says, and his commandments are not burdensome. And boy, I don't know where you're at in your life, and this is so exciting, but because we all come in different places, you know, some of you guys are just starting off in your walk with the Lord. Some of you guys are coming back to your walk with the Lord. Some of you guys have been here forever and maybe are being challenged. I find that. I've been in the church for 35 years. And when I read the word, beloved, I'm challenged. When I prepare a message like this, I'm certainly challenged by it. And that's exciting to me because it shows that God's word is alive. So this idea that his commandments are not burdensome. So where are you at with that? Where are you at with God's commandments? And hopefully we know enough about what God expects from us so that we're able to compare or gauge where we're at as far as us and God's commandments. You could take the Ten Commandments, for example, or you could take in the New Testament, just boil it down to loving God with all you got and loving your neighbor as yourself. You can do that too. But I think most of us have enough of an understanding of God's commandments so that we can gauge ourselves and say, where am I at when it comes to obeying God's commands? And early on, it's scary. It might be scary. It's like, oh, I don't know. God is perfect. He's got all these commandments. There's no way I'm going to be able to, you know, do them all. And then maybe you realize you're not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ, and you enter this relationship with Christ, and then it's like, okay, oh man, but it's overwhelming trying to keep up with all these commands and follow them because of flesh. And then later on, you see victories as you submit to Christ and his word. You see victories, you see things becoming more natural to you, the spiritual things, obeying him. And then God's commands begin to take a different light in your life. And before you know it, you know you're growing spiritually when you are naturally doing what God wants you to do. And then when you want to do the things that God wants you to do, now we're talking. And there's got to be this progression, though. And that's kind of what I'm asking, like, where are you at? Are you able to say what John says? And we're going to see a couple verses also in the Old Testament that speak of something similar. His commands or his commandments are not burdensome. You know, maybe before we knew Christ, we liked to lie or steal. And then you kind of read the command that says you shall not steal. You're like, oh, but I'm used to taking this from work or saying this on my taxes or taking that from my whatever. And then you get this guilt trip, like, I still want to steal, but I shouldn't because I know God doesn't want me to. And then you get to the point where it's like, you know, I'm not going to steal anymore because God doesn't want me to. And then you get to the point where it's like, there's no way. How could I possibly even think about stealing from anyone about anything and offending God that way. See, there's got to be this progression in every aspect of your life. You might be thinking like, well, I've never stolen anything. Fine. But, you know, the gossip or the resentment, the unforgiveness, the pride, the selfishness, whatever it is that you may deal with. And I would imagine that we all deal with several things. His commandments are not burdensome. That's where we want to get to, where we want to do and obey God's commandments. That's where we want to be at. And if you're sitting there thinking like, I'm not even close to that, I can't even imagine that, that's where you rely on God's strength and help. And that's part of the evidence in your life. When you see the transformed life in you, where it's no longer, oh, I got to make myself do this, but it's like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. I was just having a conversation with somebody this week, and that person was telling me, I don't know what God is doing, but he's doing something. I never would have thought that I'd be in this position here at this church. And hopefully we've all experienced that in different areas of our lives, where you might be thinking, like, never thought I'd be, like, setting up chairs and enjoying it, wanting to come and you know, whatever, greet people. Before, I used to run from people at church, and I want to be a greeter at church. What? What is that? Well, I would say that's God's transforming work in your life, and praise God for that. The main point of this morning's message is this: a life of obedience towards the Lordship of Christ glorifies God. That's it. Simple. No need to complicate things. As we submit to the Lordship of Christ and we become obedient to that, we glorify God. So if you want to glorify God, which is our ultimate purpose in life, and you don't know how, be an obedient child. A life of obedience towards the Lordship of Christ glorifies God. So my question is Christ Lord of your life? And this is an important question, beloved. I don't think it's a question that you just say yes to one day and then check off that box and then go about your business. Is Jesus your Savior, and is Jesus Christ your Lord? And by definition, that means he commands. He has the right to tell you what to do. He has the right to be the one that says, I must be glorified. I'm the important one. I'm the one that matters. I am it. He would say, I am. Like he did in the Old Testament. He is. And it's an ongoing process. In chapter 15 of John, we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about abiding in him. And there's lots to say about that. But I'll say this right now. If there is no abiding where there is no obeying. All right? If we're being disobedient to God, let's not pretend or kid ourselves to think that we're abiding in Christ. Without obedience, there is no abiding. And we're gonna talk about that right now. And let me say this in form of introduction. If you wish to experience a closer relationship with God, and I hope that's all of us, if you wish to experience a closer relationship with God, start by being obedient in that which you already know God wants you to obey him in. Let's not kid ourselves, right? It's like, God, I want to experience a closer relationship with you. Hey, I know you told me to do this and stop doing that, but let's put that on the side and let's just focus on our relationship here, Lord. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We must be obedient. And you might say, like, but it's overwhelming. I don't know what to do. There's so many things. Well, I know I'm saying this, but don't kid yourself. Just do the things that you know God wants you to do already, and then you could experience a closer relationship with God. Same thing with your children, with any relationship. If there's friction between you, just think of yourself as a parent, or you as a child towards your parents, a parent-child relationship. And when a child is not being obedient or being rebellious, how does that make you feel as a parent or as the adult figure? And then there's this friction, and then the child comes around and says, like, hey, so can we go to Chuck E. Cheese then? Yeah? How's that? Pizza tonight? You're like, pizza? I'll give you a pizza right now. Come on, get closer. Ask that again. And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. And you look at the Old Testament, David talks about how his sin was eating, his unconfessed and unrepented sin was eating him up. And I think most of us have experienced that, no? We try to hide your sin. It says your sin will find you out. And we, you know, nobody knows. Like, God knows. And he's the only one that matters. And so there is no abiding without any obeying. And if you want to experience a closer relationship with God, start with obedience. And beloved, there's probably things in your life that you're struggling with that you've found that you haven't been able to get rid of or just kick out of your life. And I would say, let's learn to depend on Christ. But then again, growth groups, family, relationship, accountability, encouragement, you need that stuff. You need that. I don't know about you, but I find that I'm most godly when I'm at church. You? And then you get home, it's like, oh, I don't know what happened. I was good until we said amen, and then I don't know what started going downhill from there. Then you get home, you start having these thoughts and these bad habits, and you go back. Wouldn't it be great if we just hung out at church every day? There's a concept, you know. The early church, you know what they did? They got together every day. Now we say things like, that's not practical, Mike. Like, who can get together every day? Like, everybody can get together every day. If we just get rid of half of our idols in our lives, we'll be able to get together every day, easily. All right? I don't know if we'll be able to stand each other every day, but hey, we can try it, all right? I don't know. Different people every day, maybe. I don't know. Just keep that in mind. All right, so let's get to it. Obedience to God. Let me read John 15, verses 1 through 11, and keep obedience in mind as we do this reading. And keep in mind, where there is no obedience, there is no abiding. Keep it simple there. John 15, verses 1 through 11. Listen to this. This is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. This is really the last week of his life. And it says, the Lord speaking, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. But we could take like months trying to, you know, explain this and just absorb everything that's in there, but hopefully you were able to listen to that and just kind of keep obedience in mind, because that's the topic for this week in your growth group. And the idea here is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus Lord? And again, I hope that as you listen to this message, you're challenged. I hope that nobody here just says like, yeah, he's Lord. Of course, I'm a Christian. Of course he's Lord of my life. And then your wife is sitting there thinking like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, or your husband's looking at you, or your kids are looking at you like, what? What I'm saying is, all of us have lots to room to grow when it comes to obeying and really giving Christ the well-deserved, the rightfully deserved place in our lives. So, I have 3 points that I want to share with you. And that is, we're going to complete this phrase, obedience to God. All right, so point number one. Somebody told me this week, like, did you have 1 point or 3 points? I'm like, 3 points? What you talking about? I'm like, I didn't get them. I'm like, Here it is. Point number one. Obedience to God is not optional. And I'll start with O, by the way, all right? Obedience to God is not optional. Jesus is Lord. Philippians chapter 2, amazing. We probably won't get to that. I have it here, but it talks about how every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That paints this amazing picture. I believe it's saying people in heaven, people on earth, and people in hell will bow their knees in recognition that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That even people that are separated from God eternally are going to have to recognize, because they're going to be able to think and in a way that we can't hear while on earth. In the afterlife, we're going to have this, I believe, very different understanding and perspective of things. And even people that are separated from God eternally will bow their knees and say, Jesus is Lord. Whether I liked it, thought it, or not, He is Lord. There is no option when it comes to obedience. The Lord demands obedience, or you have nothing. In John 15, it talks about that. We'll see that right now. Obviously, you might say, like, well, there's people that are not religious and they don't obey. They curse God. So, yeah, obviously you could be disobedient, but what I'm saying is that comes with a very high price, right? And that is separation from God for all eternity in a place called hell. So, yeah, there's that option, but the result is not one that anybody, you know, wants or expects, even if they think they do. And then the reason why it's also not optional is that the new birth, if you are a Christian, it automatically, naturally, obedience naturally needs to come out of you. This is part of the new life. There is no new life without a desire to obey. Obedience is key. But you don't make yourself obey. And there's certainly an aspect of your will to surrender your will to God. But the new life is kind of what I was talking at the beginning. You're going to see you obeying naturally the commands of God and wanting to be like God so that it's not burdensome. You don't make yourself do these things, but you're gonna be about the disciplines as a Christian, and then you're gonna see God transform your life. You're gonna grow, and then you're gonna realize, wow, you know, I used to not like doing this, but now it's different. So John 15, 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine. We're talking about obedience to God not being optional. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, and there's only one real vine. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. He said, you obey or you abide, or you have nothing to do with me. It's not optional. And beloved, I really believe the problem that plagues the modern Western church is this idea that I can be a Christian and live however I want by the dictates of my own heart. Because you're probably thinking, I'm a good person anyway. And that's not the case. That's why there's so much confusion in Christianity. There's so much confusion in the world as to what a Christian really is. Because you have all these people professing to be Christians and they have nothing to show for it when it comes to obedience. So if your idea is, oh, I like being Christians. People at church are really nice, and I just feel like warm and cozy when I go to church. So I like being a Christian, but hey, outside of church, it's like it's my life. I'll do whatever I want. You're not a Christian. You're somebody who's professing to be a Christian. But if there's no desire to be obedient to God's will and for you to surrender to His Lordship, the Bible over and over says there's nothing there, and you should be really, really concerned. All right? If you find church to be nice and you behave here and maybe you put on an act here and then you go home and you're like, yeah, okay, that was good. Checked off that and now I'm going to do whatever I want again, which I've been doing for the last whatever amount of years. That's very, very problematic. But I'm telling you that the church is plagued with that. And I believe John MacArthur talks about that in that book. Talks about these imposters, right? And just creating so many problems. So we should desire a closer relationship with God. We should desire this this relationship with us and Christ being our Lord and us being able to submit to him and be obedient to him as a natural process of the new birth. John 15:5 also says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do, and listen to this, nothing. Christ is saying, without me you can do nothing. Zero. And there's people that live their lives outside of Christ, they rebel against Christ, and they're successful perhaps. They're business people, they got money, they got the toys, and they're thinking, hey, I'm living my life without God. And Christ is saying, you who thinks you have everything, you really have nothing. Soon enough they'll find out what that means. Let me share with you Luke chapter 6, verse 46. The Lord says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Meaning, if you're going to call me Lord, then do what I say. But if you don't do what I say, why do you call me Lord? This is Jesus speaking. And then Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And that doesn't mean you do the will and you earn heaven. That just means if you are a child of God, you're going to be doing God's will. So obedience to God is not optional. Point number two, obedience to God is ongoing. It's ongoing. It's not just last week I was really obedient, so this week I have a week off. Like, that doesn't work. I know none of you think that way. We just act that way. But none of us think about it normally. John 15:2, the latter part, says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You get that? It's not just, we don't just bear fruit. It's like, oh, there it is, Lord. Here's my fruit for you. But the Lord says, my Father comes, and we are pruned. He takes away the impurities. He takes away more sin, those things that slow you down so that you can bear more fruit. And then he prunes you some more so that you could bear more fruit. And then he'll trim you up again so that you could continue bearing fruit. Because ultimately, that's what glorifies God. So it's not a one-time thing. It's ongoing. Listen to a couple of verses here. Psalms 119, verse 44. The psalmist says, so shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. Titus 3:1 says, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work. Like, remind them to continue to do these things. It needs to be ongoing. Think about Abraham, the father of faith, right? God appears to him and says, get out of your house to a land that I will show you. And Abraham is called the father of faith because he left everything just about, and then he followed the Lord to a place that he didn't know, but he trusted God. He had faith in God, but he didn't just check off the box and say, okay, one time when the Lord appeared to me or called me out, I obeyed, so I'm done. It's not like that. One of the most amazing acts of faith happens later on, decades later, after Abraham proves his faith by obeying, when God comes to Abraham and says, you know your son Isaac, the one I promised you? I want you to sacrifice him for me. And what does Abraham do? Woo, he's ready to do it. Faith, obedience is ongoing. Do not lose heart. Don't ever feel like, I've been in the faith for 30 years. I want to see what it's like to not have, what? I've had people say that. They're early on and, they're trying to see if this is for them. And they'll say things like, I don't know. I feel like I need to go back to the world to see what it's like now, to see if I'm like, what? Don't. Don't. If you left some sins behind, leave them there. Leave them there. Don't go back. Don't even think about them. Let me finish off by saying obedience to God, one, is not optional, two, is ongoing, and three, it is the optimal way to live. It is the best way to live in obedience to Christ. And you're going to see that at the beginning again. It's like, oh, I can't do this. You know, when people start knowing, hearing about the gospel, one of the first things they'll say is like, does that mean I can't dance anymore? Does that mean I can't, drink a little wine anymore? Like, those are our concerns sometimes. And then after you're in the faith for a while, it's like, why would I want to do anything like that? I want to be at church. I don't want to read the word. I want to be a good example. It is the optimal way to live. And just really quick, you know, I'm thinking about in meditating about this with my children. You know, it's always best at home when we get along. And they do what I say. Ah, that's right. You know, the best time at home is when I am leading the way God wants me to lead and my children are following my lead. That's the best way to live in my home. If I'm all messed up and I'm not leading and then my kids don't follow because I'm not even leading, it's chaos at home. Same thing with the Lord. He's a perfect leader. And when we follow, we enjoy our relationship with him. Let me share with you John 15, 8 through 11. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Don't you want to bear lots of fruit? I do. You want to be a fruitless tree Christian? That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. I want to abide in God's love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. I want God's joy. I mean, just listen to all these things. The Father will be glorified. You will bear much fruit. We will be his disciples. We will abide in God's love. His joy will remain in us, and it will be full. It will be perfected in us. Don't you want to live like that? Well, stop messing around. Isn't it weird? We know what to do. We know how to do it. And then our flesh just says, but no. There's also, you could do whatever you want. And then there we go, doing weird stuff that is inconsistent with God's calling. The hymn, Trust and Obey, we ran out of time. So, I don't know if you guys realize, but when we run out of time on a timer, the people that are watching us online won't see this anymore. But you will. So, you're here. Our online people are going to have to go back on YouTube and check out this last couple minutes. I just want to share with you John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said to him, and if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Obedience is key in our relationship with God. The old hymn, Trust and Obey, says when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And the chorus says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust in a way. Sorry, to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You guys want to sing that? Well, next time. Our choir will take note and maybe we'll sing that one of these days. Trust and obey. There is no other way to live. We realize that when we learn to submit ourselves under the lordship of Christ, because he's perfect and because he's good, we get to enjoy the life for which he created us. It's not a burdensome thing to submit ourselves to the lordship of Christ. It is while our flesh still wants to do, as long as we continue to give in to our flesh, it's going to be a struggle to submit ourselves to God. But when we surrender and we give up and we crucify the flesh, I am crucified together with Christ, says Paul. That's when we begin to experience the life that God has for us. We will bear much fruit. God will be glorified. We will be his disciples. We will abide in his love. We will remain in God's love. Why would we want anything different than that? May the Lord bless you with this word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us this time. Thank you for allowing us to spend time in your word. And Father, I thank you for the growth groups that are going to be happening this week. I pray that you will be glorified through them, that we will be blessed, that much growth would occur, that we would get out of our comfort zones, that we would learn to be vulnerable and learn to help each other, to receive help, to give help, to be encouraged, to follow you, to learn to live in obedience for your honor and glory. And as a result, we get to enjoy a life for which you created us. What a blessing. Thank you. We ask that you would dismiss us with that blessing. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.